the Bible tells us Darius was all in favor of him. But he had signed a decree of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not, and his hands were tied. No sense appealing to the king. He couldn't help him. Daniel says, I'm going to carry my case to a higher court. And he prayed and gave thanks as he did aforetime. You know, when you call your representative on the phone, or you call the governor or the prime minister, you get, hopefully, what they're able to do for you. And maybe you have to go through two or three avenues to even get to them. You don't just walk in and say, I'm Ellison Ryan, I want to see the President of the United States. They say, who are you? But at any time, you as a Christian can come into the presence of the God who made you. You don't have to force entry. You don't have to call him on the phone and say, I'm very sorry, very busy now. Maybe the second Tuesday of next week we'll see you. You don't run into any of those problems. You can get through just like that. You know, one of the annoying things to me, I don't know about you, I'll pick up the phone and, sorry, wrong number, or they'll say, he's out right now, but you're supposed to leave a message, you know, on his recording machine. And sometimes you call these people and you're talking to the recording machine for about 5 minutes before you get to talk to anybody, human voice, that you can exchange. That's kind of a business. But you know, we can come to the Lord. And as the scripture says, there's nothing that he cannot do. And sometimes we think that he's only interested in the big thing. God that we know. He's the God of the telescope. No one has ever been able to plumb the depths of space. But he's the God of the microscope. There's nothing so small, so insignificant, that he's not interested in everything. I like that. I like the fact that the most insignificant detail that nobody's interested in, what he's interested in. Some time ago, I was reading a book. It was written by the late Marion Carter. Some of you met Marion Carter in Miami in your visits. Ralph and Marion Carter served the Lord for many years in the Dominican Republic, and for some time, they were in the Miami area. Well, she wrote this book. And in this book, she tells this story that was interesting. She said that many years ago, out in Vancouver, British Columbia, there was a preacher, I forget his name, but he'd gone out there to have a series of meetings, and he had erected a tent, and souls were saved, and they decided to build a chapel building. And he was a stickler. He didn't believe that he should even have the first meeting in that chapel unless everything was paid in full. No debt, nothing outstanding. Everything had to be paid to the last nickel. That's what he believed, anyway. So he prayed that when they opened that chapel, there wouldn't be 1 cent owing to anybody on that chapel. That was one prayer. The other prayer that he prayed was that during the course of the construction of that chapel, one of the workmen who was working on it would get saved. And the third thing that he prayed for was that the opening service in that chapel, in the opening service, someone would get saved at that meeting. Those were the three things he specifically asked the Lord for. She went on to say that during the course of the construction of the building, there was a carpenter who was working on the job, and he got saved. He was coming to the meetings that they were having this day, and he got saved. And the day came when the chapel was due to be opened, and there was a debt outstanding of $65 still on the chapel. And he was very concerned because he didn't want to have that opening meeting unless that was fully paid. And the lady came up to him. And she said, brother, and she didn't know about this, but she said, brother, I've got something here. I've been having my purse for the last few weeks. And I've been meaning to give it to you. It's for towards the construction of the building. And she handed him this envelope. And he opened it. And it was exactly $65. And it paid in full. Well, this carpenter who had gotten saved, he kept after the best friend that he had, his companion that he knew in his unsaved days. He kept after him, kept after him, kept after him, and about coming to these tent meetings. The man never did come. But finally, he said, the building's all finished, and he said, won't you come to the opening service in the new building? And this man said to him, I'll come. I'll come, he says, if you'll promise me that you will never ask me again to come to any meeting, I'll come under that consideration. And so he made that promise that he would never invite him to another meeting if he came to that meeting, the opening service. And he came. And the Lord touched his heart, and he was saved that night. And the man who was saved was Ralph Carter, her husband. And together they served the Lord for many years in the Dominican Republic. Does God hear and answer prayer? Those little things, oh, they say that's just coincidence, the world says, is it? The little things. The little details of our lives. Let me share an experience with you, a personal experience. I don't do this ordinarily. I don't put out the fleece like he did. I pray, but I don't put out the fleece. Say, Lord, show me some sign. But I guess it's about 21 years ago now. Our family was getting larger. We had 5 children. And Joan was not pregnant at that time, but we had 5 children. I figured we needed more room. I needed a room for study. And I just wanted to know that the Lord was in it. And so I said, Lord, if you want me to build that addition to our home, I want you to send me $500 this week. That's 20 years ago. $500 is a lot of money now, but it was more money then. And I preached on that Sunday at one of the chapels in South Florida, and the brethren gave me a check for $35. And Monday went by, and Tuesday went by, and Wednesday went by, and Thursday went by, and I saw different Christians with a different meeting. I never got another nickel from any source, a mail or otherwise. $35. And it was Friday. My father came home from Nassau. He was there having meetings. And he handed me an envelope, and he said, this is from some of the Christians in Nassau. And I opened it. It was $180 in cash. That's still a long way from $500. And I said, Lord, if you want me to go ahead, I've got to have that $500 this week. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it at this time. And he sat down at the table that night at supper. And as we were sitting at the table, the doorbell rang. And I was closer, and I went to the door. And it was a special delivery letter for me. Mm-hmm. In the special delivery letter, there was a note that said something like this. Dear brother, I've just sold my home and I got a good price for it. So I'd like to share with you. And with a check for $300. I saw him several months later. I said, why did you send it special delivery? Why the hurry? Well, he said, I just thought you might have needed it. But had he not sent it special delivery, I wouldn't have gotten it that week. You know, God takes care of all of these little details and in our lives. And it's a wonderful thing to know that he knows and loves and he cares. God's recipe for peace. You know, we live in a troubled world. We're singing about that in our hymns, about the troubles and trials and sorrows of life. And we all have them. But here God gives us a recipe for peace. This is what he says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And this is the result. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Over 50% of all of the people in the hospitals in the United States today are there not because there's anything organically wrong with them, but because of emotional stress and distress. Well, this tells you how to deal with that. Let your request be made known unto God, not to the psychiatrist who charges $100 an hour. That's cheap, according to their standards. But let them be made known unto them. Oh, what peace, Joseph Scrivener. Oh, what peace we often for. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Tom Baird wrote, he bids me cast my care on him each day. He also bids me not to cast my confidence away, but oh, foolishly I act, when taken unaware, I cast away my confidence and carry all my care. It says he'll guard your heart. He'll keep you emotionally right. And your mind, he'll keep you mentally right. But you have to take the prescription. No good looking at medicine the doctor gives you and said, wow, this is good medicine. I know this will take care of the case. You can gaze at it all you want. But you've got to take the medicine. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, you go to human counselors. But the Bible says his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. It says in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, not go to the psychiatrist. It says he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He doesn't blame you for your troubles and trials. Just bring them to him. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have. To be a healthy Christian, you have to talk to the Lord. One of our hymns says, here you left your room this morning. Did you think to pray? But here you left your room this morning. Did you think to praise? He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And they needed to do both. That's the recipe for a happy, healthy Christian life. Who are you talking to? And then secondly, what are you thinking about? Your life is made up of words and thoughts and deeds. Everyone's life. Words, thoughts, and deeds. As far as your words are concerned, let them be made known unto God. Talk to God. as far as your thoughts, it says, think on these things. You know, a lot of people have the mistaken idea that it doesn't make any difference what you think about. They'll say, a penny for your thoughts, what are you thinking about? It makes all the difference in the world what you're thinking about, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. What are you thinking about? Not only who are you talking to, but what are we thinking about? That's a fundamental question, a very vital question. They have a saying in the computer field, G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. In other words, if you put garbage into the computer, don't expect to get anything but garbage out. Whatever you put in is going to come out. And this brain that we have that God has given, that's a huge computer. The apostle tells you not only who to talk to, he says, I want to tell you what to think of. And he lists six things. And if you take the trouble and compare these six things to the six things that you have in Psalm 19, it starts out, says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's worth thinking about it. In fact, your whole salvation is determined by what you think. Did you know that? What think you of Christ? God is going to gauge your life by what you think of Christ. Not by the life you live. What do you thought of Christ? What does he mean to you? John Newton was right when he wrote, well, think of Christ as the test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears to your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed as to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Well, that's a vital question. What are you thinking about? Think of these things. And if you compare those six things, you'll come to the conclusion that what he's telling us to think about is think about the Word of God. Not only talking to God, but having God talk to you through his word. Think on these things. Let me call your attention to the first three that are mentioned in that list in Psalm 19. The law of the Lord, or we might say the word of the Lord, is perfect, converting the soul. That's worth thinking about, isn't it? Isn't it worth thinking about a word from God that will convert your soul forever? That's worth thinking about. And then he says the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's good thing to know that he saves, but to know that he keeps. The testimony is sure. There's nothing uncertain about my salvation. I love the story about Fanny Crosby. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. I was telling somebody today that by the time she was 10 years of age, she had memorized, thanks to her grandmother and a Christian Presbyterian landlady, she had memorized by the time she was 10, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Song of Solomon, part of the Proverbs and Psalms. By the time she was 10. So if you think you're good at memorizing, just think about Fanny Crosby. She wrote over 8,000 hymns, and when her tombstone was erected, they put on it the words, Fanny Crosby, 1820 to 1950. Underneath of it, the words spoken by the Lord concerning Mary of Bethany, she had done what she could. It stood that way for a number of years, and some Christian friends thought they ought to put something that she had written herself. And she wrote, they put under there the lines that she had written. Blessed assurance, Jesus. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my story. You have that assurance. You can have that assurance. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There's safety, there's certainty, and the third word in Psalm 19 says there's enjoyment. Oh, it says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. I'll tell you, when you come to Christ, when you trust Him, the Bible says, blessed, most happy are they that trust Him. Why does God ask us to think of these things? For the simple reason that man's thoughts never, you hear what I say? Man's thoughts never rise above earth. Never. The only reason your thoughts rise above the earth is because God has given you those thoughts. He says in His words, as the heavens above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. And you know, God has given us in His Word, as we meditate on it, the inestimable privilege of thinking the highest thoughts in the universe, because we're thinking God's thoughts after Him. We sing in one of our hymns, oh, the peace forever flowing from God's thoughts of His own Son. Oh, the peace of simply knowing on the cross that all was done. To be a healthy Christian, then, we must first of all pray, speak to the Lord, say, and then secondly, think. Think God's thoughts after. You know, it's a wonderful thing that God takes delight in those that think His thoughts after Him. The psalmist could say, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. Psalm 139, how great is the sum of them. And then we read in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, Lord, hearken and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before the Lord for those that feared the Lord, and that thought. God takes delight in those of us who are thinking His thoughts after Him. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. You would have never dreamed it in a million years. For my fault hath revealed it. Whatever thoughts that we are of any real lasting, eternal power, and all couples of God. What a wonderful treasure we have in His Word that we can think His thoughts after. Well, it's not enough to just think His thoughts after Him. The Apostle says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do! Do! Those are the deeds. And you know, every one of us as Christians, we're going to be judged for the deeds done in the body. And the Apostle says, whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And somebody has said, when all is said and done, there's more said than done. Do. Do. Bible says it's by grace that we're saved. None of us deserve it through faith. That not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before day that we should walk in. Who are you talking to? That's your question, Abel, to God. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about His Word, meditating on it? It's the only thing that will change us more and more into His own blessed life. We all, with unveiled face, the origin and class, the mirror of God's Word, we're being changed. We're not changing ourselves, we're being changed into the same image from glory to glory. Do. God expects us to be active in service with Him. And it says, if we do that, first of all, if you pray, it says the peace of God will be ours. But it says, if we do, the God of peace shall be with us. I remember a story that Alfred Gibbs told years ago. He said there was a man in South Africa, he had labored for many years, had gone some 20 years. Without ever seeing a white face, labor in Central Africa. And he said he was preaching at this conference in Durban, South Carolina. Durban, South Africa. He was preaching in Durban, South Africa. And he said something like this. He was, during the course of his message, he'd say, no go, no low. No go, no low. And Mr. Gibson, after the meeting, he was a young man. He went up to him and he said, what is this no go, no low business? Well, he said, the Lord Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you all. No go, no love. He says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. If we're acting on His Word, we can be assured that He'll be with us every step of the way. Shall we pray? Our Father, we're thankful for Thy precious Word, and tonight as we will be engaged in prayer following this meeting on behalf of the meetings that are to follow throughout the week, the conference that is before us, we pray that all of us indeed may be laying hold of Thee in prayer, recognizing that all blessing must come from Thee, that we have nothing in our hands, that every exercise of soul that is created is a result of the High Holy Spirit working in the hearts and lives of Thy people and those without Christ. So we pray that Thou would use Thy Word to help us, to challenge us, and to encourage us. And may these days together be days of mountaintop experiences when we will be drawn afresh to our Lord Jesus Christ and seek grace to serve Thee, O God, acceptably and with godly fear. Part us with Thy blessing, we pray, that we give Thee thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Wonder if we might sing in closing that hymn, I Need Thee, Every Hour, number 568, I Need Thee Every Hour, Most Gracious Lord, 568. I need Thee every hour, teach me Thy will, and Thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need Thee every hour.
Eight adults and three children.